Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I am, of course, B-Don. I did not get fired from my own podcast. I am here after week one, and we're here. I have my usual co-host with me, Donkey Teeth. How's it going over there, DT?
What's happening, brother? It's been forever. You know, everybody thought that we broke up, but we're back. The dream team is back, man.
Hey, I even thought that it was over. You know, you had told me that you had left me for different podcast partners, and I didn't know what was going on. So here we are, post week one, and you know, the duo is back. We're gonna try and go through kind of the week one players, the guys who played well, the guys who didn't play so well, and just kind of tell you where we're at on them for this week, for rest of season, Yeah, we're going to do that. We have the YouTube show up, so you can actually watch us do this show if you want to. YouTube.com/RazzballFantasy for all your Razzball Fantasy video needs. So, yeah, DT, here we are. Week one. How was your week one?
It was great. I mean, I think I probably had the best first week of fantasy football ever. I won every single matchup. I know you and Gray talked about it on the Fantasy Baseball Podcast, but a few friends and I won a bunch of money playing the new DraftKings Rainmaker contest week one. So I can only really go down from here, you know?
Yeah, I know. I noticed you didn't include your podcast partner in any of those winnings. So, you know, I just thanks for that, DT. But yeah, congratulations on your week one. I had like a 75% win rate this week, so no complaints as far as my week one went. As most of us do, we have a little bit of up, a little bit of down, a couple bad calls here, and hopefully you didn't get hit with something bad like, I don't know, the Dak injury that buried me in a couple of leagues.
Yeah, that's interesting because you've never been a big Dak fan, have you?
No, I haven't. I got him actually. It was auction leagues that I won him in, and he got nominated the right time, and he went for cheap. And I was like, I don't really want him, but if nobody is going to take him, then sure, I'll take him. And now he's injured, and now I'm pissed at myself for going against my own advice, which is to not draft Dak. And here we are. But what are you doing? I guess Dak aside, they're not putting him on IR. It's a thumb injury. So we'll see when he gets back. But what are you doing with the Dallas weapons in the meantime? I mean, are we talking about a full sit of CeeDee Lamb and all the receiving weapons? Or are we leaning into, you know, Zeke and Pollard? What are you doing here?
Well, obviously, we both know it all depends on what your alternative options are, but I'm not excited to start them, that's for sure. Before we dive in on this, B-Don, let me just mention off the top, because I told Bobby that I would, they're doing a weekly Sunday morning show answering all kinds of questions and stuff. It's like a three-hour stream on the Razzball YouTube channel, so I think I'm going to jump on with them this week. It looked like a bit of fun last week. I got a little gnat here flying around. But yeah, follow or subscribe to the Razzball YouTube and jump on Sunday morning if you've got start sit questions and stuff that they go on forever on there. And then again, B-Don, if you want to, we can do the show live like we used to. I don't know how many of our old school listeners are still around from
like two.
There's two. Of them. that's all that we actually had when we started. So
it was, that's why I said there's two.
what was the one guy's name? I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. We can move beyond what we're used to have here.
If you guys want us to do a live stream where you can come in and ask questions like we used to do, we can now do that with the new platform that we're on. So, you know, hit us up in the comments over on Razzball or the comments on the YouTube video and let us know if you want to do that. We're a show of the people, but back to your question here, B-Don, I'm not excited. I mean, 2 years ago when Dak was out, they were just horrible, right? Like Zeke was unstartable.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And on top of that, we're not only talking about Dak, but they're already missing pieces on the offensive line before this, which is why I got Dak at a discount because everybody's concerned about it. And then you know, we've lost Amari Cooper. They're just in a different place than we've seen the Dallas offense before. So I will say for whatever it's worth that Zeke actually did look fairly good when he did touch the ball in week one. I will say I said the exact same thing last year in week one. And by like week four, I was like, he's cooked, get him the freak out of there. While I'm excited that Zeke didn't look completely roasted, I'm holding off on my stance of, you know, hating Zeke for the season. And, it may just play into it, even if he's good, because the Cowboys themselves may not be good. He was splitting with Pollard, but not in an overly substantial way. Nothing that we didn't see last year. I think with CeeDee Lamb, as you mentioned, it depends on what your other options are. He didn't do a whole lot in this game in general. I mean, he had 11 targets, but only caught two of them. You know, you got to be excited about the 11 targets and the fact that he's clearly the number one option in this passing game. So I think I'm probably trotting them out there in any kind of PPR just for the receptions. But in standard, I'm a little bit more hesitant to throw him out of my lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's always harder to start a wide receiver in standard. And if you're talking about a 12-team standard league, the top 24 wide receivers are getting started. If you faded wide receiver, you probably didn't end up with CeeDee Lamb then. But if you faded wide receiver too, yeah, you may be stuck starting. I probably still got him in my top 25 to 30 range. Moving forward would be my guess. He's going to get a lot of volume and they're probably going to be playing from behind. So he's as good of an option as most back end wide receiver twos, I would think still.
Yeah. I was trying to get Rudy's projections pulled up and my computer's freaking out right now. We'll talk about where he fits in when we kind of get a little bit later into the wide receivers. Let's talk about the rest of the quarterbacks before we move on. I think there were a few names that kind of surprised this week. None bigger than Carson Wentz. He was at Jacksonville, so let's hold off a little bit, but he had four touchdowns, 313 yards. He went 27 of 41, did throw the two picks and could have been a couple more had bounces gone a different way, but he was the number three quarterback in week one. What are you thinking with Carson Wentz here? Is he a trustable QB1 or are you sticking him still in the back in QB2 early, maybe even like early QB3 range?
Well, I think there's upside. We've seen it before with him and he's got some nice weapons now. New system, new scenery around him. So I'm certainly not like full fading him, but I'm not ready to put him in QB1 territory either. So he's like a high end QB2 to me with upside and good matchups. I'm happy to start him. I think he's a nice replacement in a lot of leagues for Dak when if your quarterback pool has been picked over a little bit in those types of leagues where maybe people own two quarterbacks. So pretty wishy-washy answer for you. I'm not a full believer, but I'm not writing him off. We've seen it before. So I want to see another week of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fully prepared to pick him up and stream him for this week. I have a bid in for him in the Raz Bowl, actually. I put in a bid, even though I have three quarterbacks, I kind of ignore the position. So just kind of stacking, you know, quantity instead of quality at quarterback. And he's going against Detroit this week, which is another nice matchup. That being said, when we get into a more neutral or, you know, less advantageous matchup, he is, you know, a where I said he was. Like, he's a back-end QB2, early QB3, streaming quarterback in most leagues that are one quarterback. In two quarterback leagues, he was obviously already drafted and owned. So maybe a little bit more confidence in starting him in the right matchups there. But that's about all I'm taking from this.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm a little bit more of a believer than you. I think that there's a lot of hope for this offense. You know, I've always liked Gibson a little bit more than you. Still got Terry, and Dotson looked really good, and Curtis Samuel looked good. So, yeah, you know, it was against the Jaguars, so I hear what you're saying. But there's hope for this offense.
There is. There's some pieces in play that are big play capable. I just don't trust Carson Wentz. I don't trust the Washington organization. I don't really trust their O-line to give him time like he seemed to have versus Jacksonville, which is always the big thing with Carson Wentz. When he has time, he looks like most normal quarterbacks. When he gets rushed, he either eats sacks just, you know, like a fat kid in chocolate cake, or he throws the ball up and gets picked off. But there is some talent around him, so we will see. We'll have to monitor that one and see who comes out on the right side. A few other guys that had nice performances, without getting into each of them, so we can kind of move this along at a decent pace here, DT. We had Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston, and Geno Smith. Why don't you just rank those four so we have an idea of where you're thinking these four are rest of season?
You know, you and I didn't get to – we didn't do any shows this preseason. I know Gray has been monopolizing your time over there. He's had you in a cage recording baseball. But I was really high on Geno Smith coming into this year, believe it or not. So I actually – I'm not excited to start any of these guys. Probably still have Jameis as the head of the pack just because – you know, he throws a lot and he's got good weapons and Michael Thomas looked pretty good. So I think Jameis has got, he's right there in that Wentz territory, probably slightly ahead of Wentz for me as a high end QB two. The rest of them shade below. So I'll say Winston, then Geno, then Tannehill, then Mayfield. Geno and Tannehill's probably a toss up to me, but not super excited about any of them.
Yeah, I can go with that order. I think you get the benefit of Geno having really nice receiving options. And then you get like Tannehill versus just the consistency that Tannehill's shown other than last year, where I still feel like people leaned into him saying he was awful when, while he was bad, it wasn't like the worst thing we've ever seen at the quarterback position. So I think I'm with you. I think it's Jameis. I'm going Tannehill probably just for the consistency. Then Geno, and then Baker last. Baker had some struggles in that game, and he just never really had it clicking.
Agreed.
Let's talk about some big name quarterbacks real quick before we move on. A lot of people had some started them. We had Tom Brady, Stafford, Rodgers, Russ Wilson, Trey Lance. I'm going to throw him in here just because he got drafted because of the potential rushing ability very high. Out of these guys, are you worried about any of them? Is there one or two that is actually kind of triggering and maybe you're worried?
I think if there's one that I'm worried about, and I don't get overreact to it to week one too much. We talk about this every post week one show.
Yeah.
But Trey Lance is probably the one that he hasn't done it before. The rest of these guys, they've got the track record. You're going to give them some leash. Stafford, you know, we don't know for sure that the elbow's okay, so he'd probably be the second one, but he's got Cooper Kupp. The Rams offense should be fine, so they say that the elbow's okay. I'm inclined to believe them for the most part. And then Rodgers is Rodgers. You know, you can give him the worst wide receiver core ever. He'll just take some hallucinogenic drugs and he'll be good to go, man. He's going to throw for 4,500 yards.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in regards to the if we're looking at a couple to be worried about, you know, Trey Lance. I think people may have overestimated the amount that he's actually going to rush this year. He's not Lamar Jackson type of rusher. He's more Russell Wilson. Like, he'll rush if there's space and that's what's given to him. But I just don't know that the rushing is going to keep him consistently in like a QB1 status. I've kind of said that out on Twitter and, you know, with anybody to listen. Rodgers, I'm a little concerned just because at least when he's, you know, made a crappy receiver core work, he's had a guy that's like has been around for a long time that he can rely on. I don't think he has that guy right now. So I'm not worried in the sense that I'm starting him. He finishes his QB1, but I don't know if he puts up kind of the gaudy numbers we've seen the last couple of seasons. And Stafford, you're right. The injury is pretty much the biggest concern. There were definitely a few passes where it didn't look quite right on Stafford, but it was also week one. You know, let's give him a slight break.
Yeah, so I think to go back to Rodgers, he really does need Alan Lazard, it seems like. As much as I like Romeo Doubs, he's still a rookie, and there's going to be some growing pains. Lazard, we don't know the injury status. It sounds like probably a slight lean towards him not playing in week two. But, yeah, I think that would do wonders for Rodgers having that safety blanket of Lazard that he really trusts.
Yeah, would you start Carson Wentz versus Detroit over any of these guys we've talked about?
I think it's kind of a toss-up for me between Wentz and Lance. Lance has the Seahawks.
He has the Seahawks, yep.
Yeah. So I think I lean Lance, but, yeah, I'm probably going with all of these guys over – all the other guys over Wentz for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you all on every single person we listed. I'm starting them over Wentz. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Let's move on to running backs here. The Najee injury. He's already said he's going to play this week. I don't know how Pittsburgh feels about that, but they do need him out there. He's the only person holding that running game together. I don't know how it's going to look without him. I guess if he starts, you're playing him for the most part. But are we just trying to get out from underneath Najee if you have him right now, or you just have to suck it up and get what you can out of him because everybody knows about the injury?
Yeah, I would sell personally, and try to get, you know, even if you get like late second round value, I would be content with that at this point. It's just, I mean, anytime we hear Lisfranc, I was fading pretty hard there at the end of the preseason once he said that, and now he's got an ankle injury. I don't know if it's related. I certainly wouldn't be surprised. We know how the human body is and starts to compensate for this and that, and I just got a bad feeling that this could be a nightmare season owning Najee Harris. It's not off to a good start, so yeah, I would try to cut bait and see if I could get, I don't know, who's like a nice second. Like, even if I could trade him for like Fournette and another piece, I think I would probably bend and do that. Javonte Williams, if you could get Javonte Williams and maybe even pay something with Najee, I would probably do that because I think most people would look at something like that as an overpay.
See, I'm thinking the other way. I don't know that you're getting either of those guys for Najee because we knew about the injury. At least he played week one, but then he aggravates it week one. Like, I don't think you're even getting those guys. I was going to go like probably to a Cordero Patterson. Like, I think you could get that done if you want. And I really don't think that's an awful deal, but you're just betting on an older player versus an injury there.
See, I think you found the area where I would be buying Najee.
And I think like maybe the best you could do as far as like if we're looking at like second rounders is like Aaron Jones, because, you know, him and AJ Dillon are splitting. So maybe you can get an Aaron Jones or, you know, I don't think the Dillon guy may not swap you because he got to see what he wanted to see in the week one. Although I would make that swap, you know, still with Najee's injury. But I think that's kind of where I would be thinking you can get it done is like that area or like Josh Jacobs, since he didn't really have a good week one. Maybe like Monty and something. Like, I think that's what you can actually get done right now.
It's interesting. This is really an interesting case, and I feel like we talk about this every week one, and every league is so different because there's some leagues that really are slow to adapt and will hang their hat on that draft day valuation for a couple weeks. And there's others that it sounds like where we're at, where we're pretty quick to adapt and adjust these valuations. So depending on your league, there's a chance that you could flip him for a Javonte Williams. And I was saying Javonte Williams plus, I was saying Najee plus a piece for Javonte was kind of my thought there on that one, just to clarify. But yeah, it's really tough. I mean, these valuations are not easy one week in when you've got injuries and somebody that was falling heading into the draft in the first place. I think I would be buying Najee with the kind of guys that like Cordarrelle Patterson that you're talking about, or Josh Jacobs, those kind of guys. I think I'd actually buy Najee. I think the risk there, the risk reward there, I lean Najee, but it's not an easy decision. Antonio Gibson is one guy that I was really high on coming in, that if somehow like I played chicken on him and didn't end up with him on my team, I would consider doing something around Najee, Antonio Gibson. Would you rather have Gibson?
I don't know that I would, actually. I actually surprisingly have some Gibson shares this year because
he was going so late.
His price was falling and falling and falling. But you know, I've never been a huge Gibson fan. I think, you know, if you just loaded him up with touches, he'd be fine. But he's so like big play dependent. You know, he did get a lot of receptions. This one, that's great to see. I just don't know that it's going to shake out like that week to week, because I don't know what the Washington offense is like. I'm still concerned that we're going to put this idea of the Washington offense in these first 2 weeks. It's Jacksonville, Detroit, and then it's going to change completely when they hit actual competition.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Gibson is really a polarizing player. Some people love him, some people hate him, and it's more hate still than love, it seems like. But yeah, this is a fascinating conversation because, I mean, even just running through six different players, you and I are valuing them substantially different. And we're talking about Najee Harris, who was going as like a top five pick there for most of the draft season. So, and you're talking about maybe getting him for somebody like Cordarrelle Patterson, who was going after pick 100 for most of the draft season. So that's how quickly things can change in a lot of people's minds, right?
Yeah. Although I will say, I never understood why Cordarrelle was going after a bunch of RB2s in their own systems.
I agree.
That was crazy to me. But moving on, just a couple of guys. I mean, they're good. We've said they're good, and now they're showing they're good in Saquon Barkley and DeAndre Swift. Swifty did miss practice Wednesday, so monitor that situation. I'm guessing just the day off, because they're going to load him up with everything he can handle this season. I mean, I had Saquon and DeAndre Swift already very high in my running backs. Any changes for you with these two? Where you, again, we didn't really talk football season because you left me for Bobby and others, but were you in on Saquon and Swifties?
Yes, I was. I was huge on both of them as well. And probably not high enough on Saquon. Was ahead of consensus, but Saquon is one that it's almost like just bump him up into that like top tier already. He just looks so good, and the volume that he's getting, like he looked like old Saquon. So he's like, if we were drafted today, he's going like in that tier right after Jonathan Taylor for me.
Yeah, see, this is what drives me crazy about it, is like we always known Saquon's good. We know he's good. The problem was he plays for the Giants and he has injuries like 1 week, and everybody's willing to forgive him for that. I always play towards the talent, so I already had him high, but like everybody's flip-flopping now, and it's a little frustrating. But yeah, Saquon's very good. As long as he's healthy, he is an elite running back, as is DeAndre Swift. I have no problem with either of those guys, as you were clear and cut RB1s. Move on to a few surprises. We already talked about Cordarrelle Patterson. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going like later and later and later. I actually have a share of him, and I hate Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson, and Dontrell Hilliard, all guys that had very polarizing opinions on them and were dropping like just stones coming into draft season, or the end of draft season, but all had good week ones here. I'm just going to ask you to kind of throw these guys in the blender and tell me who's like top, rank them for me here, DT.
So this is the Clyde Edwards, Cordarrelle tier that you've got here?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I will rank that, but I just want to address you calling me a flip-flopper here, B-Don. And maybe you weren't talking about me specifically on Saquon, but I do think, like, I had him ranked, I want to say number 10 or 11 coming into the season. I ended up with him on quite a few teams. I think the difference here is, like, you weren't ranking him number 2 or 3 overall coming into the season, were you? Maybe you were.
I had him as a top 5 player.
Yeah, that's aggressive for sure, considering the history in the Giants, right? Those were the risks. And when you see him come out in week one against – a defense like the Titans are not going to be terrible. I wouldn't think, you know, with Vrabel at head coach, I think their defense will end up, we look back in 8 weeks and they're going to be at least a slightly above average defense. I would think Saquon got 18 carries, 164 rushing yards. He got 7 targets, 6 receptions. The Giants offense didn't look totally inept. You know, there was room for him to run. So like you see that in real action. And of course it is only 1 week and it is only week one. So you don't want to, you know, totally flip around. But if you were already high on Saquon and just a little nervous that maybe he's not going to be 100% because he's Saquon, I think that there's a lot of validity from dropping him as a tier two running back up into tier one. So that would be my counterpoint to what you said there. But as for these guys, Miles Sanders, number one, Antonio Gibson, number one, Miles Sanders, number two. I guess it's tough. It's tough between CEH and Cordarrelle Patterson. I think I lean CEH just because of the Chiefs defense, but the volume is probably going to be with Cordarrelle. I give a slight edge to CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then fourth, I'll go Cordarrelle. And then Dontrell Hilliard will be number five for me. How do you got him ranked?
Yeah, I figured this one we might split apart on. I actually, as weird as this sounds, because he was being forgotten about and drafted behind RB2s, I have Cordarrelle at the top of the list. I just feel like his place in the Atlanta offense is so established that like he's the safest bet week in, week out to get work. Because if they're behind, he's going to be getting work as a wide receiver out of the backfield. If they're, you know, leading, he's going to get rushing work. So I just feel like he's getting touches regardless. I have him number one. I have Gibson two. I have Clyde three, Miles four, and Hilliard five. I could flop Clyde and Miles. I have no issue doing that. My biggest issue with Miles and Clyde are just, you know, I will actually swap them. I'll say Miles first, then Clyde. But my biggest problem is they're still splitting. Clyde was under 40% of the snaps. That's why I went ahead and made that switch. Miles was just over 50%, which is pretty standard, I think, in today's NFL, unless you are a true just bell cow. So that's where the only swap I think I'm going to make. But that's my order.
I think it's interesting on Cordarrelle. You could be totally right. He was a monster last year, so it really didn't make any sense where he was getting drafted. That the one thing I will say is there was some strange late preseason hype for Damian Williams. They came out and said he was going to be a big part of the offense, and he got hurt early in that game. So I don't know. Maybe it's substantially more of a timeshare between those two if Williams is healthy, but he's also not healthy right now. So there's something to be said for that. So definitely not fading your viewpoint on Cordarrelle by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about Damian Williams as a potential, you know, person in the way before.
A person.
I feel like he never actually is in the way of anybody. So I'm not really worried about Damian Williams. I think if anything, if he gets injured and goes to the IR, that may give Algier a spot on the roster. And I think Algier is the one that I may be concerned a little bit cutting into the passing work if he gets, you know, on the active roster to play. But as of right now, he's inactive because they're starting Cordarrelle. They have Damian as the backup. And I think Avery Williams runs a little bit more on special teams than Tyler Algier does. So he's the third stringer right now. So we'll have to see. But right now, I think Cordarrelle is locked in as the Falcons RB1.
Fair enough.
All right, let's talk about a couple of guys who are not locked in at all into RB1 territory. Clear splits here. James Robinson and Travis Etienne, and then A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. Etienne and Aaron Jones were the two that were going higher in the draft season. James Robinson and A.J. Dillon were the ones who showed up for their owners in week one. Where are you at on these two splits, DT?
It's a tough one. I think one thing that kind of gets lost in a performance like the Etienne one is that he had two pretty easy touchdowns. One that early in the game, Trevor Lawrence missed him on a pass in the end zone. And then one that he dropped that should have been a touchdown later in the game. So like really close to having two touchdowns for ETN too. And then the narrative is totally different here between, I mean, James Robinson still had a really good game and was a bigger factor than you would have expected. But if ETN comes away with two touchdowns, he was a huge factor in the passing game. People are not as panicky right now as they or they wouldn't be as they are right now, because there's definitely some ETN panic going on, and it's fair because Robinson is clearly going to be a big part of the offense, a bigger than most people expected. So I think both of these situations are timeshares. I'm probably higher on ETN still than most people. I would rather have ETN than James Robinson, but I don't think it's a stretch to see all four of these guys finish the season between like, RB10 and RB25 type of range. I don't think any of them are going to be like a slam dunk RB1. And I don't think any of them are going to probably fall into that flex. So they're solid starts. I want all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon. I still want Aaron Jones over AJ Dillon. He still had more snaps. The timing in the game just worked out where AJ Dillon was in the right time. In regards to James Robinson, ETN, I told everybody I could this preseason, I was not in on ETN at his ADP. He was always going to split. And also, people overestimate his abilities. People think he's a great receiver. This is a Clyde Edwards-Helaire situation. He is not a great receiver. He is an okay, capable receiver in certain situations. Yes, he did get overshot on one touchdown from Lawrence, but he also literally spiked another touchdown that he could have easily walked in on a reception, and then he fumbled inside the 10 and got benched for a quarter. I am less rosy on ETN. I think eventually we're looking at a situation where while they're splitting, it is more James Robinson, because I honestly believe he looked good in his return, which was the concern on James Robinson. I think if they're both healthy, James Robinson's the better running back.
Yeah, I mean, James Robinson, they're both really good, in my opinion.
You don't think ETN's good? Like, I've never said he was really good. I don't think he is.
Yeah, well, this is how you talk beat on. I mean, we've been over this debate so many times. Like, NFL, they're all really good athletes. I mean, they wouldn't.
Yeah, really good athlete doesn't mean really good at your job in football.
Well, you put them behind a good offensive line on a good team with opportunity, they're going to score a lot of fantasy points.
But he's not. He's not in either of those.
Yes. Well, I'm also higher on the Jaguars than most people are too. So that's the other thing. But I guess to address like your point, and we go off on these tangents. This is what you and I do beat on. But James Robinson was coming off an Achilles injury. You know, I like James Robinson as much as anybody else. You know, I was all aboard the James Robinson train that first season, but that's a tough injury to come back from. There was no, like, it was unlikely that he was going to be ready for week one. Even up until like a couple days before the game, it was very uncertain. So there was a ton of opportunity for ETN to kind of establish himself. Didn't work out that way. Robinson recovered from an Achilles injury better than really anybody could have expected. It's a tough one. So yeah, I mean, kudos to you, but like we could be on the total flip side here and we could be without Robinson for 4 weeks. It's just not the way that it shook out. Right.
I never said like Robinson should go where ETN was going.
Right.
I just said ETN shouldn't be going where he was going.
Robinson was a good value
because he's not that good. Like ETN's just not as good as people think he is. He looked very good in a very prolific offense in college because he's a very gifted athlete and they had just space for days for him to run in. That's not how it's going to look in Jacksonville, but that's fine. We can move on. We've covered the Jacksonville situation. AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones, are you different than me there? I'm still on Aaron Jones. Have you taken over to the quad?
The quad. In standard, yeah, I'll take Dillon in standard. I think even half PPR, you still give the lean to Aaron Jones, but they're pretty close. And I think it's going to be pretty close to a split. And like you said, game script dependent on who it's going to be from week to week would be my expectation.
Yeah, I mean, literally the only difference in the game is that like Aaron Jones doesn't fall in the end zone. And then they're like the exact same. So, and I honestly don't think it's a situation where Dillon's a goal line back and Aaron Jones is not. Aaron Jones has been one of the most efficient red zone rushers over the last 3 years in the entire NFL. So I don't think he's losing that role. I don't think you have to think all his touchdowns are going away, but it is going to be a, you know, who just broke off the run, or who's been playing all down, who's freshest coming into the red zone type of situation when we're talking about who gets the touchdown.
Yeah, I think Aaron Jones is probably a good buy right now. I don't think, I mean, they get the Bears this week. You know how Rodgers does against the Bears. It's probably going to be a huge bounce back. Wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Jones caught 2 touchdowns or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. So we'll just monitor that one. You know, Aaron Jones and the Packers, Aaron Rodgers and really the Packers have always beat up on the Bears. So this could be a very good bounce back week for everybody in Green Bay, potentially. I'm just going to throw a list of guys at you. You tell me your level of worried. We're going to start at top here. Ezekiel Elliott.
Pretty high. Like, let's just use like a 1 to 10 scale. I'd say like 8 for Zeke. It's just, he has not been great in the past without Dak.
Yeah. I think I'm actually a little less concerned for you, which is weird because I hate Zeke. And I was actually lobbying for Pollard to maybe even go above Zeke in drafts, or at least them to go kind of back to back. But I think I'm with you. I think I'm 7, maybe slightly less concerned, just because they do seem to be still in a split, but you know, Zeke kind of sitting still on the right side of it. 58% and 55%, 2-snap difference. So really not as pronounced as possible. So definitely concerned. But maybe you're a little bit more. Rashad Penny.
I'd say pretty low concern on Penny. I thought he seemed like he was a pretty big piece of that offense, and Geno looked pretty good. So I think also the other thing with the Seahawks is they tend to improve substantially later in the season, at least if we're looking at historical Pete Carroll teams. So probably maybe like 3 on Rashad Penny. I'm really not that concerned at all.
So I'm going to preface this with, I don't like Rashad Penny, so I had him ranked very lowly. So I'm not concerned at all because I didn't see anything that changed my mind on Rashad Penny. He's very good at what he does, which is hit a wide open hole and run very fast. If he doesn't do that for you in a game, this is kind of the line you're looking at. Like, that's what he is. He's the equivalent of like DeSean Jackson as a running back.
Yeah, I mean, you hate all running backs that aren't Saquon Barkley and James Robinson.
That's yeah, all. Pretty much. You know, if you're not good at your job, I don't really like you as a player if you have one singular talent, which is what Rashad Penny does. David Montgomery, where are you at on our Bears running back?
I mean, my opinion hasn't really changed. I think he's a solid, yeah, more back end RB2. I don't think the Bears are going to be good. I think it's a pretty fluky win. Weather helped a lot. But the volume will be there probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I always do, when the Bears are very bad, I expect us to be better. And when we're good, I expect us to be bad, which has actually worked out fairly well for my expectations most of the time. I actually think you're right on, like, Monty's a back-end RB2. I will say, if you have Monty and Khalil Herbert is out there, I do think it's worth maybe going ahead and speculatively picking him up. I know he got drafted in a lot of leagues, so you may not be able to, but he may get dropped in this first waiver wire period too, because he was on the field for less than 30% snaps in this one. So I do think there's the potential you may want to go grab Herbert if they make a switch at some point. Damian Harris. Where are you at on your 1 to 10 on Damian Harris?
Maybe like a 6 or 7 area. I mean, we always know going in it's the Patriots, and we can't get too excited about anything, even when reports are good about somebody in the preseason like Damian Harris was. So I think he'll have his weeks, but it's the Patriots running back situation, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to go 4 because we knew there was a split. There's always a split in New England. And with Ty Montgomery banged up, it's going to be him and Ramondre. So I do think as long as Ty Montgomery's out, there is a little bit clearer split, and it's a little bit clearer. It's just those two. So I think there's maybe even a potential buying opportunity if we hear that You know, the injury to Ty Montgomery is going to be serious. I never thought I'd be worried about Ty Montgomery, but those are, hey, those are offensive snaps that he's not on the field for.
I think he did. Didn't he hit the IR?
He went to the IR,
but it's like
it was a knee injury, but he can still come back at some point.
Gotcha.
But yes, for the near future where we don't have Montgomery, I do feel better about both Ramondre and Harris.
Yep.
How about Derrick Henry?
I'm not concerned. I'd be buying Derrick Henry. He's probably one of my top buys this week.
Yep, completely agree. CMC and Eckler?
You know, CMC's usage was not like old CMC. So I wasn't like – a lot of people were at the end of draft season like bumping him up ahead of Jonathan Taylor, which I thought was a little bit nuts. That, you know, there's still injury risk, and now we see the usage not like – him being a bell cow, at least in week one, which, you know, it's just 1 week. He could be in week two. But I probably move him down a little bit towards the, I don't know. I got Saquon ahead of him now. He's probably like number 7 or 8 or something like that for me. So a little bit concerned, but he's going to be good still as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I had him 1. I still have him 1. I would go out and buy right now. I would trade literally any running back for him. Not concerned. He'll be fine. Austin Eckler, I am a little bit concerned about. He played less than 50% of the snaps of running back, which is one of those things you were kind of counting on Austin Eckler to do for you.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be a theme, you know? Like, yeah, it happened in 1 week, so we can't ignore it, but like why the drastic change? What was his average last year? Like 60% or something like that, 70%?
Give me 1 second. Go ahead and talk while I look that up.
I'm buying Eckler. You know, in my standard leagues, I guess, you know, you don't get that ridiculous PPR potential that Eckler has, but I expect the volume to return is I guess what I'm saying. And I believe in the Chargers offense as well.
Yeah. He was 64% last year.
And he was 50% in this first game.
He was 49%. In this first week. I mean, I don't love it. I mean, they were literally mixing in everybody that started at running back for them. I mean, Josh Kelly got 18 snaps. Xander Horvath got 15 snaps. Sony Michel got 16 snaps. Isaiah Spiller is injured, so he wasn't even active for this game. I'm going to say I'm at like a 3 or 4 on an Eckler. I'm not like trading him away. I'm not taking less than draft day value or significantly less than draft day value. But I am concerned that this offense may be changing, that they may look to lighten his load a little bit as they kind of push for a playoff spot this year and maybe that elusive playoff win.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I just want to see another week. If it happens another week, then I'm starting to get concerned, but not going to overreact to one.
All right. Yep, that's fair. Again, I'm not trading him away for any kind of discount or maybe like a 95% discount. If somebody wanted to trade me Saquon, that's fine, but I already had Saquon higher. So, I think you're just sitting with Eckler. Akers. Cam Akers is one. Ooh, it was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't end up with Akers on any of my teams, so I was running like the plague from Akers in the first place. So you know how that goes, like when you have no exposure and they're just absolutely horrible and like so bad that some people might be dropping him in shallower leagues. Yeah, I'll take a shot on Akers, you know, but like that comes from the place of not having any Akers at all in the first place, right?
Right, and I will say Akers coming in this game, we knew he was injured from last year. We knew he got banged up very late in the preseason. So I always kind of expected this to be a not great performance from Akers. Obviously, 18% of snaps is less than not ideal. That's awful. But I do think there's better times ahead. I'm still holding on to Akers. I'm not cutting him, even though his performance was just pitiful. I'm willing to wait this out. I'm willing to see if he gets better as he gets healthier as we get into the season. Plus, Darrell Henderson had like one good run that people like, oh, Darrell Henderson looked better. like it was that one run he looked better, and then he looked bad, regular Daryl Henderson the rest of the game. And the reason you drafted Cam Akers, the reason I drafted Cam Akers was because we were talking about a potential RB1 and a very good offense. All that still exists.
Yeah, fair.
All right, moving on to wide receivers. We got the Keenan Allen injury. You know, it's not what we want to see for Keenan Allen here. He's been ruled out already for this week since they had the quick turnaround on Thursday versus the Chiefs. It's a hamstring. Those can be tricky, so it's really hard to say whether it's going to be 6 weeks or 2 weeks. It doesn't sound like it's overly serious yet. There's been no move to the IR or anything like that. If we just take it at that and we say it's not serious, what are you doing for this week?
What do you mean? Like as far as
starting DeAndre Carter, Josh Palmer? Are you worried about Mike Williams? Are you worried about Justin Herbert at all? Or maybe we lean into it and Eckler gets, you know, his bounce back week.
Yeah, I mean, I was super bullish Mike Williams coming into the season. So it's a little bit concerning how little he did once Keenan Allen went out pretty early in that game. That said, I'm still buying Mike Williams. I still believe he was so good for that stretch last year with Herbert. Like, I don't think that just goes away. So I don't know if Mike Williams, you know, he's always an injury risk. Maybe he's battling something that we haven't heard about. I don't know. But I'm still all aboard Mike Williams. I think Palmer is an interesting play if you need like a wide receiver three and you kind of faded him. I'm not buying on DeAndre Carter. I think that was a little bit more fluky. I think if I had to pick one, it would be Palmer.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you that I'm going Mike Williams one. Just we're looking at the talent level. Mike Williams is the best talent out of the group. But I do kind of like DeAndre Carter. It sounds like a little bit more than you do. I think I might actually, in full PPR, I think I'm starting him over Josh Palmer because he's going to run out of the slot. I just feel like, you know, watching that game, Herbert was looking for Carter. Like, that's who he went to when Keenan left the game was DeAndre Carter.
It's interesting. Let's see what another week brings. And it is we'll see, because they don't have a ton of time to prepare. Like you said, a short week. They're playing on Thursday, so it'll be telling.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be interesting. There was a few good receivers that looked really good in the top three off the board everywhere. Across the board looked amazing, and all the wide receiver early drafters loved it. Devontae looked good in his spot. I think that maybe the three that kind of surprised, I don't know if they necessarily surprised either of us, but Michael Pittman looks like, you know, he is the WR1 for the Colts. AJ Brown is the WR1. Not surprised at all there. And Michael Thomas actually did look good. Slightly surprised there.
Yeah, I actually own all three of these guys, and pretty happy with how they performed. Not shocked. The reports on Michael Thomas were pretty darn good in the preseason, and I think I've always been one to buy those a little bit more than you. So that's why I was in on Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Michael Thomas. I will say he has the right quarterback for his current skill set. Like, he's not getting open like Michael Thomas used to, like he used to. Michael Thomas used to leave guys in the dust. That's not what happened to this game. He got a little bit of separation, and Jameis trusts him to throw him the ball. So, again, he has the right quarterback. I think he's going to be good this year, but I'm not expecting an old-school Michael Thomas year. I think if you can sell somebody on an old-school Michael Thomas year, I would do that instantly. Pittman, I don't have a whole lot of shares of just because he was going very early. And if you know me at all and you've been listening for any amount of time, you know I go running back early. AJ Brown, I do have a couple of shares of because I love AJ Brown, and he was a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, all these guys are great. I'm not really worried about anybody other than maybe Michael Thomas out of that group.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Moving on to some guys we weren't quite sure were going to be, you know, great, but the signs pointed in the right direction. And so far, they're still pointing in a positive direction. That is Jerry Jeudy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju maybe doesn't feel right in this list because you're looking at the points, but I
am encouraged by the amount that he
got targeted in this one. Seemed to be the clear option outside of Kelce in that offense. Do you like these guys? Where are you at on these guys rest of the season?
Yeah, I liked Amon-Ra the most coming in. I was pretty big on him. Juju, I was also excited about. And you know, I've never been a big Juju fan, but I mean, when you got Patrick Mahomes throwing it to you, what more could you want? And there's not a whole lot of competition there, so not surprised there. So yeah, Judy, it would be the one that's maybe a little bit surprised. I've always liked Judy too, though. So my concern there was that it would be a little bit more Courtland Sutton than Judy, and it actually was pretty even. If anything, maybe a slight edge to Judy. So pretty bullish game for Judy, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw for Judy. I was not on Amon-Ra St. Brown, but can't argue with 12 targets. That's just great to see from any receiver. So hard to ignore that. And then, you know, when we're talking about Juju, like I said, he got the target. So I'm very happy with that. I like Judy and Juju. I don't own very much Amon-Ra St. Brown, if any. Just was a little expensive for my taste. Even if he's good, he's still kind of stuck in that Detroit offense, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
I was hoping Goff would look a little bit better than he did.
Yeah. Goff did struggle. I mean, the Lions outsiders, DeAndre Swift, kind of struggled in general there. I mean, there's only a couple of guys I wanted to talk about left here, and they're mostly rookies. Let's just talk about a couple of rookies since they're big pickups this week and kind of give people an idea of where we're putting them, and then we'll get out of here, DT. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, so the first one, obviously, Jahan Dotson had a huge week. I mean, the number one rookie scorer of week one. Where are you on Dotson? He was a popular flyer in you know, draft season. He's grabbed up in a lot of late rounds. Like, are you expecting something like this every week out of him? Because they do have a number of weapons there in Washington.
I mean, not something like this. I think that he could be relatively consistent for a rookie wide receiver. So I would be buying. He definitely deserves a roster spot in, pretty much all 12-team leagues, even shallow bench. 10-team, that's, you know, things start to get a little bit fuzzy there, but... I think Dotson, I'm more believer than not believer in the week one performance.
All right. I'm with you. I think he's good. I will say what I said before, which is just that it's a very crowded offense right now. You take away the two touchdowns, it's 3 for 40, and you know, he may not even be in this discussion as much. Right. So, just kind of keep that in mind when you're betting that those two touchdowns really kind of prop up his number. 3 for 40 isn't overly spectacular, and it's going to be kind of like that, I think, in that offense a little bit. Isaiah Pacheco is another one that we kind of thought might take over a bigger role. I mean, he had some work in this one, but not, you know, it was clearly Clyde's show.
Yeah, he's a speculative stash. He could develop into a league winner if Clyde gets banged up. That's for sure. But shallower leagues, you can move on.
All right. How about Drake London and Kyle Phillips? They're kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. Everybody thinks Drake London's going to be fine. Kyle Phillips was a buzzy camp guy, but I mean, he got peppered with targets in this one.
Yeah, Phillips is a nice deep league play just to see if. That kind of target share continues. I actually grabbed him in Scott Fishbowl after the fact for nothing, which is almost as deep as a league gets. So Drake London, I was pretty out on by the end of draft season. So he's one of those kind of guys. Deep league, if he gets dropped, snatch him up. You know, he can be a difference maker. There's no doubt about it. But not a guy that if your bench spots are precious in your league, that I would be wasting one on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that statement just because the Atlanta passing offense looked so bad. But I would not be dropping Drake London. I think he's going to be good. Kyle Phillips, I'm with you. He's a guy that can be picked up. Definitely PPR format specifically. He's kind of in that, you know, slot role, Hunter Renfrow type of mold. He doesn't have the hands or the route running of Hunter Renfrow. But he could be useful, and Tannehill seems to be looking for him. So I do think that's a decent pickup in PPR formats. Let's talk about Breece Hall and George Pickens, just because they are two of the top guys that were drafted in redraft and dynasty, pretty much whatever format. I mean, Breece did okay, I guess, considering he's playing for the Jets. Definitely a little bit more of a time split than Breece Hall owners would like to see. He was 45% to Michael Carter's 60%. And then George Pickens really didn't do a whole lot of anything.
Breece Hall, the writing was on the wall. This was what we expected, at least early season. There's definitely potential for, I think it would be a bit of a surprise if he didn't overtake Michael Carter and kind of flip that script to 60-40 kind of a thing at some point in this season. But I was excited about him early draft season, and then it became more apparent that Michael Carter was going to be a little bit of more of a problem than you'd hope as a Breece Hall owner. So I kind of pumped the brakes, but at this point, his owner might be a little upset, or maybe next week you try to buy him low as a mid-season kind of bull run for Breece Hall, I guess you could say. Pickens is the same. Like, I'm not dropping him. I own him in a league with somewhat of a short bench, and I really like Pickens. I'm going to give him at least another week. We'll see what happens. But his upside is just so high. You know, he's such a freak.
Yeah, I'm with you on both these guys. I think we kind of knew Breece was going to be a guy that had to build into it through the season, and eventually he'll become the RB1 we want him to be. So, yes, if you have clear running backs and you kind of wait for that, maybe send out that buy low offer on Breece and Pickens. Again, buy low if you can, but I'm not dropping him. I think he's going to be fine. He played over 70% of the snaps, so he's going to be involved in the offense. He's the clear three in that offense. It's just that the offense itself isn't so great right now. So I would potentially consider cutting him if it's a shallow enough league. If we're talking 10 team with a shallow bench, or even potentially 12 team with a really shallow bench, where if you're needing to pick up Curtis Samuel this week, and that, you know, George Pickens is the bottom guy, as much as I love him, I don't see the offense picking up to the point where he's going to be a must own, because Claypool and Diontae Johnson are very good in their own right.
Yeah. Claypool was nice, the amount of work that he got, especially in the run game.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice to see him getting work as a runner. And then, I mean, he made a couple of catches that were amazing too. So he's showing that he is more than just a deep ball go-getter this year, which is nice. I mean, that's great to see. That's what I was hoping from him as he got a little bit more investment in this offense, because they've moved on from some different pieces. But yeah, that's going to do it for us, DT. As always, if you have specific comments about your lineup, trades, pickups, if you want to see us go into kind of our older format of where we do a live show, and you can ask us questions and throw guys out as we're sitting here saying, who are we starting versus, let us know, and we'll throw that in there. We can kind of set a time each week for people to jump in here. Go check out the Razzball Morning Show. They did a great job last week, and they'll be out there to answer all your questions as well. Go subscribe, youtube.com/RazzballFantasy. I'm at RazzBeaton on Twitter. DT is, of course, at DonkeyTeeth87. And until next week, DT, have a good one, man. Good luck in your matchups.
Take care. It's good to be back with you, buddy.
Yeah.